Well, guys, again, thank you for being here. We are in a series called The Fruit of the Spirit, and it's found in Galatians chapter 5, and it's verses 22 and 23. So if you'll turn there with me, or flip there in your cell phones or your Bibles, or we'll put it up on the screen for you if you'd like. And it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law." Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As you look at that list, it divides into three. You got love, joy, and peace. We talked about love the first week. Jason talked about joy last week. We're going to talk about peace this week. Those are things that we want the Holy Spirit to begin to do in us. We want to be filled with love. We want to have joy, a joy, that God's joy in us, so His joy would be complete and we would have joy. And we want peace. We live in a time where we need peace. Then you look at the next three. We have patience and kindness and goodness. These are things that we show outwardly to others. Oh, give us patience. God, give us patience. You know, the people on the road, you know, let me be kind. Let me be a more kinder person. You can't do these things to yourself. These are things that you share with others. Patience, kindness, and goodness. And we show that to others. And we say, this is who we are. So, Holy Spirit, fill us with that fruit here so that we can be more kind and more patient with others and show goodness. And then there's faithfulness, the last three, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. These are behaviors that we want to adopt. I mean, we think about it. We want to be faithful in our study. We want to be faithful in our prayer time. We want to be faithful in our service. We want to be gentle. We want to do it in a way that's loving and shows concern and that we're about other people. And we want to have some kind of self-control. But sadly, we live in a kind of a crazy world. Think about our world today. There's anxiety. There's depression. There's fear. There's questions, finances, family. We're overwhelmed. And our enemy, the devil, wants us there. He wants us filled with no hope. There is no hope. My life is always going to be like this. But the good news is we serve a God that is bigger, greater, more forgiving, more merciful than any of our problems that come onto the table. That's the good news. We serve a God that is bigger than any of our anxiety and our depression and our fear and our questions and our identity and the labels that people put on us and we put on ourselves. That's the good news. The bad news is we often don't go to God. We often don't go to God. Instead of turning to God, we turn to alcohol, or we turn to drugs, or we turn to pornography, or we turn to the government. Or we just sit in front of the television, binge-watching shows, trying to just chill out and fade out and get out and just try to put the world away. And we sit there in our depression and in our anxiety, and we are not filled with hope and we are not filled with peace. And that's the world we live in. Everybody has some kind of weight on them. Everybody. And we're all dealing with something. And some people pretend, and we were talking about this in Sunday school, and I kind of brought this up, that sometimes in the church, it's hard for us to be honest with people. We'll come in the door saying, God is good all the time and all the time. That's right. But then when we leave here, we go back to our problems. And we go back to the things that are weighing us down, and we go back to all of these things, this tension and this drama, that if it doesn't hit us on the way out the door, it'll hit us when we get home, and if it doesn't hit us there, it hits us at work. And we sit there and cope by mindless scrolling on our phones and binge watching and turning to substances. And some of us even live a double life. You know, that Facebook life that I'm talking about, when you look at your friends' stuff on Facebook and they look like they got the perfect life. Everything's going hunky-dory. Their kids are perfect. I mean, they got perfect everything. And yet they're probably at home like the rest of us, screaming out and crying out, saying, God, help me. Help me. Is there a secret to getting this peace? love and joy and peace? Is there a secret for the Holy Spirit to give us peace? And if you look in the scripture, I think there is a secret to the peace. The Apostle Paul, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, here was a man that sought to stamp out the church, and he was zealous in that, but then Jesus got a hold of him, and then he began to be one of the greatest witnesses for Jesus Christ. What did it cost him? He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison. If anybody had an opportunity to just say, like, golly, here we go again. I hate this. God, this is hopeless. God, where is there peace in my life? I've got all of this stuff going on. Look, they're stoning me again. They're beating me again. I've been thrown in prison again. If anybody had a chance, an opportunity to complain, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But this is what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This is prayer. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God will transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The secret, if you're looking for, how do I get this peace? The secret, I think, is prayer. The secret to peace in our life is prayer. I was thinking about, I've got a birthday coming up, y'all, and this is kind of a weird time for me. There's a lot going on in my life that's causing anxiousness, and that's, in fact, Sander was supposed to preach today. But somehow, God said, no, Paul, you're going to preach on peace because right now, you don't have peace. And so I'm sitting there thinking, like, why me? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Why me? Because God wants to speak to me, and God wants to speak to you. And so anyway, I got a birthday coming up this month, and yesterday, March 1st, my, my Medicare started. What the heck is that about? I ain't that old until I look in the mirror, and I'm like, who is that old man? So anyway, I got a birthday coming up, and one of the things my family likes to do is blow up balloons, and they put balloons and little streamers up, and you get up, and you're like, ha-ha, this is cool, you know. And so I was thinking about, and I asked Margie, I said, hey, can I just get some balloons? And on the balloons, I'll write, like, fear and anxiety and depression and identity and finances and family and all of these things that are causing stress and no peace in our life. And I started thinking about balloons. You know those little tanks you can get from like Target or something that has helium in it. Okay. Have you ever tried to work those? Okay. The first time I tried to work those, I am not good at those. So, you know, it's like, and the balloon doesn't work or whatever. Or sometimes you don't put enough air or helium in the balloon. What happens to the balloon? It just kind of sinks, right? What happens if you fill it up too much? Pops, right? Bam. And that's like a lot of our life. As we're filled with this stress and anxiety and these things in our life that are taking away and sucking out the peace out of our lives, sometimes we just like, oh, we just give in and we just sink. And other times we're so filled that we just eventually explode and we pop. And so I was thinking about those balloons and everything. And Paul was beaten and he was stoned in these things. And he should have been anxious, but he wasn't. Because God had the right amount of peace, and that's what poured over him. The whole chapter 4, verses 4 through 13, I want to read all of this to you so you can understand what Paul's saying. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and that's prayer, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, he says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You dwell on the things that are weighing you down. You dwell on your anxiousness and your finances and what's going to happen. You sink lower and lower and lower. Paul says, don't think on those things. Think of the good things. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace, you see that? The God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Yeah, it's about time, guys. I'm in prison. Where are you at, right? I'm not saying this because I am in need. I have learned to be content. And the word content there is the same word for peace. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret. You see that? I've learned the secret of being content or at peace in every and any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. It's not in our power. You can't fix it. God can. And that's the secret. Paul doesn't experience hardship and then go to God and say, okay, God, my life is just in terrible. Can you just help me out? He doesn't go there. He starts off with prayer first. I'm praying. I'm praying in the morning. I'm praying in the evening. I'm praying at supper time. I'm praying. I'm just praying. I'm praying and I'm praying. And then when a situation hits, he's already there and he's prepared. We've heard it said this, you know, prayer should be our first response, our first response, not our last resort. I don't care how you do it. You could say that, you know, it's first, prayer first, pray first, and then not as a last resort. Prayer has to come first. That's the secret. And let me tell you why. Couple things, and I want you to think about this. The first thing is, prayer is going to replace your worry. The prayer would be something like this: God, take away my worry. God's not worried, so why should I worry? We just sang that over and over again. God's not worried, why are we worried? Who of you, Jesus says this in Luke, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? In Matthew, he says this, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble of its own. How many of us sit here with the what ifs? Oh, man, I got this coming up this week. I don't know how this is going to happen. Why are you worried about that? It'll take care of itself. You know, just spend your time today. Be in the moment. Be present. Spend time with God. I learned this by having children. When Lena was born, you know, I remember when we went to the hospital, we had the little footies on. I mean, I was all dressed up. I had the little shower cap on. I had all the stuff on, had to wear a mask. And, you know, you had to walk down the hall like this. Otherwise, you were going to be doing Michael Jackson's. You know, you're going to be sliding down the hall and everything. And I remember when she was born and we were like, oh, this is perfect. And, oh, this is great. And then they said, okay, you're ready to take her home. Like, what, you're not going home with us? I mean, what are we going to do? You know, so we put her in the car seat, and I think that's the slowest I've ever driven in my life, you know, driving home. You know, people are waving to me and blowing their horns, and I'm like, yeah, it's good to see. What? You know, what do you mean by that? And I'm driving slow because I got precious cargo on board, right? And then we get home, and Margie's like, Paul, I got to get some sleep. And so I'm like, okay, so I'll go in there with her. And I became like the swaddle master. Man, I wrapped her up, and I mean, I bungee cord her and everything. I mean, she couldn't move her hands and her arms. All she had to do was like, just all you got to do is breathe, you know, and swaddle. And I would hold her, and the whole house was bubble wrapped. You know, because you didn't want her to touch anything or fall down or whatever. And then Alex comes along and it's like, hey, man, get up. You'll be fine. You know, and it's because we learned the kids can take it. Kids are more pliable like that. So why am I sitting there worrying about like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? It's going to work out. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. So what is weighing on you today that has got you almost frozen? What are you worried about the most? Because where you're worried the most is where you're trusting God the least. Pray. Give it to God. And have the peace that passes all understanding. So it replaces our worry. But prayer also lets us give up our control. So we could say as our prayer, Father, I give you this, I lay this at your feet because I can't do anything with this. And I am giving you the process and I am giving you the outcome. See, sometimes we want to give God, yeah, I'm okay, God, just take this problem. I'm going to give that to you. But then I'm going to try to work things out on my own. And we get in our own way and we get in his way. We try to take it back. My grandson, Breck, is an outdoorsman. I mean, he's just 12, or going to be turning 13 this year. And, I mean, he's a hunter. He's already got, like, deer that he shot and mounted on his wall. He's a fisherman. He can go out anywhere. I mean, he can go out in a puddle in the street and find fish. I don't know. Me, I like to cast. I like to, you know, I don't ever catch anything, so I don't do it long, but it's kind of fun doing that. And he's like, Papa, will you cast this for me? And I'll cast it way out there, and then I hand it to him, and he reels it in. It's got a fish on it. And I saw this video one time when I was mindlessly scrolling through some things. Two guys are in a boat, and the one guy, you know, they're fishing. So the one guy, he's got one of those lures that's got like about 20 hooks on it, you know, just like about this long, and it's got like all these hooks, like I'm gonna catch some, right? So he rolls back like this, and when he rolls back and he goes to throw it, it gets stuck in the other guy's neck. Wait a minute, that should have come with a warning. You know, like, hey guys, it's gonna be gross for a minute. But it sticks in the guy's neck. But here's the weird thing: the guy kept fishing. The other guy, he's like, hey, does it look bad? And you should see the guy go, no, not at all. You know, and there's blood kind of squirting out, you know, and I guess that they were trying to be funny. And then I thought about that. That's the way sometimes we deal with our own problems. I would rather suffer the pain and the stuff that I'm going through because I'm comfortable with it. I know what this is going to be. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take some aspirin, or I'm going to take these muscle relaxers, or I'm going to take these things to kind of help me deal with the problem instead of giving the problem to God. We would rather have that fish hook in our neck because at least we know where that pain is and we can control that pain with alcohol or drugs or television or just zoning out or just whatever. And we sit there in our anxiety and our depression instead of having the peace of God. Why me? Why does this stuff always happen to me? Why, you know, and I'm just going to deal with it. And we don't. We don't even deal with it. We sit there with a hook in our neck. But when we give up control and say, God, I need to give this to you. He says this again in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then he says, Peter says this in 1 Peter. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I know where I'm at, though. Even though I'm in pain, you know what? I'm going to manage it. I'm going to veg out. I'm going to lie about it. I mean, we want to be in control even if it is literally killing us. Third thing, prayer changes our thoughts. You ever had labels in your life? You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You'll never amount to anything. God really doesn't love you. No one really understands me. I'm struggling with my own identity. This is what Paul says in Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. A lot of times we get caught up in, is the glass half full? Or is the glass half empty? Are you a half full person or half empty? Let me tell you, if you are a Christ follower, your cup is full and overflowing. That's the God we serve. It's not half full. It's not half empty. It is all the way full and it's overflowing. In Colossians, Paul writes, set your minds on things above and not on the earthly things. I get on to y'all a lot lately about... The first thing I have in the morning, because I've got it on my phone, and I don't do this because, like, you know, I'm better and smarter and more righteous than all of y'all. It's not that at all, but I know how I am. And so what I've done is I've set up my phone in such a way, the first thing when I get up in the morning, the Word for Today devotional pops up. on my phone. And so I can hit it and I can hear the devotion for today. How many of you saw or read the devotion for today? Did you catch that very last line? It says this: so when times are tough, lean on God, take control of your life, and look for the right people. I mean, that's what you talk about. It says, don't break, bounce back. How do we do that? The first thing I do in the morning is when I get up, I spend time with God's Word, because I know as soon as I get done with that, man, the phone calls are going to start, the texts are going to start. It's just like my day starts, and it gets crazy from there. And if I don't start with God in the morning, then sometimes I have a tendency to just kind of ignore Him the whole day. I do my devotion first. A phone is set up for that. And when we go to God in prayer, it's not that God is coming down to us. We are going up to God. We are reaching out to God and saying, God, help me. The prophet Isaiah says this: as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's got it in control. He knows. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that you've done, everything you're going to do, who you really are, even though you think you're somebody else, you're not good enough, you're not loved. He knows who you are. You're His child. And He wants to give you this abundant life. And it starts with love and joy and peace. Our enemy wants us in knots and to say like it's hopeless. But God is not a God of hopelessness. He is a God of hope. Jesus has given us VIP access to the Father. And our strength is renewed. I remember when one of my young people from a youth group. He's in a kind of a famous band, and they travel around the world and they do concerts and stuff. And I remember when they were coming back to Atlanta, it's hard to get their ticket, a free ticket here in Atlanta, but I can get a free ticket to their concerts anywhere else. But here in Atlanta, you know, since they grew up here, everybody knows them and everybody goes. But I remember one time he gave me a VIP pass. And so me and Margie went, and we show up, and we've got these little tags, and they're like, oh, yeah, they want you here. So we got to go in a back door. I mean, it was kind of cool, you know. And then we're backstage. We probably saw some things we shouldn't have seen. But, you know, we're back there with them. And I remember Will saying, like, telling some other people, you know, and I'm sitting there trying not to act starstruck because I'm back there with some, you know, real famous people. And I'm like, hey. And, hey, Will, how are you? Good to see you. And Will's like, hey, come here. I want to introduce you to somebody. And he introduces me to somebody. And as he introduces me to this person, the guy is, I'm sitting there looking like, you're famous. But I didn't say that. I just thought that. And I'm thinking, like, golly, you're famous. And I'm sitting here. He goes, hey, yeah, man, can I get you something to drink, something to eat? You know, you need something? It's like, no, I should be serving you. I mean, you're famous, you're important, but you see what Jesus does for us? He turns us into a VIP. He's like, let me serve you. Let me put you there. What you're going through is temporary. He wants us to be like the Apostle Paul. In all of these circumstances, all of these things that happen, we can have the peace that passes understanding, a peace that gives us hope, a peace that changes our outlook. He is protecting us and guarding our hearts and minds. And this gives us that hope and this peace. And the peace of God surpasses all of our understanding. Will you pray with me? Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you for your love and your patience. How merciful you are. How you continue to watch over us and just give us that peace, Father. When our eyes look on ourselves and to our situations in this world, Father, I pray that we would lift our eyes more up to you, to see you, and to see how you've already overcome. And Father, I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.